hello, hello, and welcome to the Sober Butterfly Podcast. The Sober Butterfly Podcast amplifies diverse sober voices to share the beautiful and hard truths of recovery. We hope to inspire people to see that a life without alcohol is a life worth celebrating. I'm Nadine Molina, and thank you so much for tuning in. New episodes drop every single Tuesday at 6 a.m. Eastern. Let's peek into episode 112, which is all about sobriety, but also we're looking at willingness, the willing desire to get sober as opposed to being mandated to be sober, say by like a court. Before we get into more details around what that looks like, and before I introduce my next guest, I wanted to take a moment to check in. You all know I love to check in with you, so let's get started. This episode was going to drop on Tuesday, of course, October 4th. Yeah, October 4th. And so that is the beginning of Sober October. So for my people who don't know what Sober October is, welcome to Sober October. It is a time in which, you guessed it, you are sober the whole month of October. I encourage people to check in with themselves to see how their drinking affects their life. I think the best way to check in with your drinking is to remove it from your life. You know, really get in touch with how you feel about not drinking for a whole 31 days. And I think it will be good intel, good data points for you to check in with yourself. Outside of Sober October, I'm just happy it's October. I love October. It's still not too cold. At the end of the month, we have daylight savings, which I think we desperately need because I'm finding that it is super dark when I wake up and I can't run in the morning. Typically, I wake up between 5:30 to 6 a.m. comfortably. And when I do, it's pitch black out. So I haven't been able to really work out in the morning because I don't feel it's safe for me to go running when it's pitch black out. So yeah, that's kind of taking a toll on my schedule because then I'm forced to work out later in the day. It's just hard to juggle. I mean, it's not really a complaint. I'm just putting that out there. Something I'm looking forward to is daylight savings. Anyway, I'm really excited to jump into this week's episode. I'm interviewing a good friend of mine. Her name is Camille. She goes by Who Camille. She is an artist, a rap artist, and she is on fire, you guys. You heard from the intro song, that's her song, No WID. It's my favorite song of hers. She's the reason I actually bought a Telfar bag from that song. And I think that Telfar owes her some coins because every time I hear that song, I feel like it's somehow seeps into your psyche and it makes you want to buy the Telfar bag. But anyway, she made it hot before Telfar, I think, was so big. She rapped about this before Beyonce even rocked that first Telfar bag, which made it blow up. So I just find her to be a trailblazer, a trendsetter, individual. I love this girl. She's so powerful. And I think you're really going to connect with her story. I wanted to bring her onto the podcast as well because Camille, she's going to tell you in her own words, but she's been sober, she's been not sober. So I think it's interesting to see the juxtaposition between somebody who has been sober and then chooses to go back to drinking. And so we get into all of that in this week's episode. I love to highlight people who are sober, of course, but I also think it's equally important to highlight people who choose to still drink and who choose to consistently evaluate their relationship with alcohol, which I think Camille is doing a really good job of. So with that being said, let's get started with episode 12. See you guys very soon. Stop texting me, WYD. Welcome to episode 12 of the Sober Butterfly Podcast. I am Nadine Molina, your host, and today we are joined with a very special guest. Now, I have known this girl for 10 plus years. We went to college together. We were on the Hill. Whoop, whoop, Rattlers fan you. I have Who Camille joining us today. She is such an amazing artist and also a sober friend. Thank you so much for coming on to the episode. I want to welcome you.
Thank you for having me.
I like sober friends, sober allies. So Camille, I like to ask all my guests just in terms of like telling your story. Let's back up a little bit to the first time you ever tasted alcohol, or if you remember your first drunk, I would be very curious because for me, it was really young at the age of 13. In past episodes, I talked about how that experience went and how I actually blacked that out until I had my cousin on the show and she reminded me that that was the first time I got drunk. So tell us about your first introduction to alcohol.
Growing up, Like, my parents would drink wine, but I don't remember really seeing my parents, like, drinking hard alcohol. Like, really. Like, I knew it was in the house. I knew it was, like, a cabinet or, like, something in the basement. But I don't really remember seeing them, like, turn up, party. Like, I need a drink. Like, that wasn't my household. So it's not like it was, I saw it growing up, really. Going out, they might have a cocktail or, like, something at dinner, but it wasn't a regular thing. And then in high school, my friends were drinking. It's high school. People drink in high school. People mm-hmm. use drugs in high school. But I was a girl in high school. I was still Camille, right? I'm still who you know, like who you met at FAMU. Mm-hmm. But you know, I was young and like, I'm high off life. Like, I don't need any drugs. I don't need any alcohol. Y'all can do that. I don't need that. I'm in high school, right?
I love that.
Oh, I miss her. I miss her. And then, I got to college, right? Mm-hmm. And so really the first time I drank was at FAMU.
Wow, that was the first time you drank? Really?
First time I drank. Wow. Yeah, I'm trying to think. The first time I drank was in at college.
Okay. And so from being abstinent basically throughout your young adolescence to going to FAMU, and by the way, episode 101, I talked to Faith Grant, who you know, and we go into the weeds about what it looked like on the Hill, because I felt like we had a very unique college experience in the sense that we were, you know, in a college town, like a party town, because it was Florida State, FAMU, and then TCC.
It's time to be 21, or you're officially 21, or just in college, and it's so accessible, it's everywhere.
Kudos to you for saying when you turn 21, because I know for a fact we did not wait until we were 21 to drink.
Yeah, we didn't wait. I'm just trying to throw that, because this is a sober butterfly.
Yes.
So all you young ones watching, when you turn 21.
And I do want to talk to more, like, of this generation, because I'm just curious to know what it's like for them.
But also, you kind of want to get to them before, you know, so they can hear your experience too. Of course, mm-hmm. I feel like this is one of those things, abuse or substance abuse, alcohol, addiction, that is something, for the most part, I feel like you learn on your own. And unless you grew up really in it and like really bad and you like, absolutely not. I will not be doing it.
So, okay, you touched on so many good things there. Depending on if you grew up around it, like in terms of addiction, I'm assuming you meant. And I definitely saw it firsthand in my family, but I was determined to think that I was better, or I, you know, wouldn't be, or I wouldn't succumb to the same fate, right? Like, I'm like, oh, well, even though these people I love are also abusing the substance, because you also mentioned that, like, you grew up in it sounded like a pretty responsible household where your parents were not abusing alcohol. And so you probably never even really saw them drunk. I have a very different upbringing where I was definitely seeing things like pertaining to alcohol abuse happening in my household for multiple people. And so instead of that being like off-putting, even though it was disgusting to me, like I was just like, ugh, like I hate it, I still found myself doing the same thing and following that same pathway, which really sucks. But anyway, back to FAMU. So you went from not drinking at all to at FAMU turning up, because that's what we did. We hung around similar circles. Did you think, this is about me a little bit, did you think that I had a problem with alcohol? Because I was definitely, I think, amongst the people we knew up there. If there was like a tiered system of partiers, I would like to think that I was probably pretty much at the top. So did you think that it was problematic? Right.
Absolutely not. Not then. You know what I'm saying? Not then. Like, looking back and being on this podcast, I'm sure even my ways were definitely questionable. But back in college, no. It was just, oh, Nadine gonna be there. It's gonna be a turn up. Oh, let's call Nadine. Yeah. You know it's gonna be a turn up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But that's 19, 20 years old when you think that that's, you know, what you're supposed to do. You're in college. What else am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
You're supposed to study.
You're supposed to, supposedly, I heard that you're supposed to study, but that's not what I did.
So did you didn't study really? Because I didn't study in school, really. I didn't really study in college, for real.
I didn't study. I can count on one hand how many times I actually went to Coleman Library to study. So I didn't do many drugs in college, but I did dabble. And I would say, like, I almost used finals week as an excuse to buy Adderall from Florida State Kids just so I could go to the library and stay wired and study, because I didn't prepare for any of like my real exams. But that was not that often. Okay. That was just like,
it was an excuse,
An excuse for me to like get high on something.
It was finals.
It was finals.
Midterms and finals.
but I really did not study. Did you ever experience like any dark, like the dark underside of alcohol? Because I had a lot of good highs, don't get me wrong, in college, but there were plenty of lows, and I would probably argue I had more lows than I had highs. Did you have any experiences like that?
Absolutely. I've gotten to a point that I can look back and laugh at, but it's still cringy. Mm-hmm. There's experiences that were extremely dangerous. Mm-hmm.
Dangerous in what sense? Like, dangerous was because, like, alcohol poisoning?
Dangerous more so in just drinking so much to the point where oblivion. You don't know what's going on. You don't know who you're with. Mm-hmm. Waking up somewhere that you don't remember going to sleep at. Mm-hmm. Or maybe 2016 or 2017. But I remember I was in D.C. one night. I woke up in my car, but I did not have my keys or my wallet. And I'm in D.C. and I only found where I was the night before because of the elevators and the Snapchat I made.
No, I don't mean to laugh, but like the fact that you were playing detective and had to go to Snapchat to retrace your steps, I've been there.
I had to go to Snapchat.
I've been
but
there.
But that's alcohol. For everybody watching, that's alcohol. Sometimes, I mean, that's probably my least favorite part, is waking up and thinking, what the fuck happened last night? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. What happened? It's never a fun time when you gotta ask somebody else to replay the night for you. Even if you didn't do anything crazy.
Even if you didn't do anything crazy.
It's just the fact that you went too far and you lack self-control and you're like, okay, let me just be sure because you've done it in the past.
So here's the thing, right? I think what we're talking about are blackouts, and I had a lot of blackouts, and the blackouts were the worst because as you described it, it is like having to figure out and pray to God that you can even have a person to verify certain activities that you did, whether it was embarrassing or bad, good, whatever, you don't know. But that was honestly what pushed me to stop drinking, seeing the growth and seeing the change that happened. But you know, alcohol is the thing. And you said something that I'm wondering, because I'm still trying to figure out. You were like lacking the control. I don't know if it's lack of self-control or if it's the design of the actual substance. Does that make sense? Like, I'll say that again. Like, I don't know if it's like me. I identify as being an alcoholic. I identify as somebody that has an addiction. That's me personally. I don't place labels on anyone else. But I think that in saying that I'm an alcoholic, though, sometimes I struggle with that identity because I'm like, is it really me because I couldn't control it and now I'm in timeout? Or is it the idea that like this substance is designed for people to be addicted to it?
And I've never thought of it that way. It's two things, me lacking self-control, or is the substance created for once you get a sip, you lack control. So I get what you're saying.
Not to get too scientific, but like they talk about how gene expression, like, okay, so genetics, right? Like, does alcoholism run in your family? The way that they say it's like passed down is you don't know how the gene is going to express itself. So I was listening to the Huberman Lab podcast, and he did an episode on alcohol and alcohol addiction. And he was just saying, if you are the type of person that comes alive, that you turn on when you're drinking, when you have that first sip of alcohol, and it actually energizes you. Because if you think about it, it's a depressive substance in its natural state, like the classification, right?
Right.
So if you're energized by it, he's like, you got to watch out because that means that you could have an addiction. Like you're just predisposed to more of an addictive personality in that way.
Right.
So when I heard that, I was like, yeah, that was me, because alcohol totally turned me on to a place where I felt like I was invincible. I had no inhibitions. I could take on the world. And I already have an extreme personality, right? So I don't need, that combination, right? And that's what you would describe in high school. You're like, I didn't need this substance to get high because I was naturally high.
I didn't need it in high school.
Right?
Right.
I'm the same way. And then combining the alcohol, it really made me feel like I was invincible, which is dangerous for someone who's already extreme like me, because I was doing crazy, outlandish things.
Exactly. With me, I'm already a type of person where I don't want anybody to tell me what to do. Even with work, like my job now, I'm an artist. I'm a creator, but I create. I'm an artist. I really don't have somebody really, really checking for me. I'll get a direction here and there, but it's not anything that I'm like a work boss or like Yeah. Just having to do certain things. Like, as a teacher, I had to do certain things.
Okay.
I used to work in finance. I didn't care enough. Like, I did not care.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't care if I messed up. These people are rich. So when alcohol is put into all of that and somebody tells me, we about to go to this spot and that's not where I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all going to that spot. Y'all going there. My mind is already made up off the alcohol. I know what I'm doing.
So you're a disappearer like me.
And don't let me have my keys. And don't let
you're a disappearer like me.
Don't let me have my keys.
Yeah. I would do the same thing.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Like, where's Camille?
I would go listen. Mm-hmm. Where's Camille? Exactly. College kind of trained me with the alcohol type of thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm not going to blame FAMU. I think that's college. We're not going to say FAMU. We're going to say college, okay?
Yep.
So I think being away at school, you know, it's a culture. Drinking is a part of college culture.
Absolutely.
Kegs are a part of college culture. Shots, pregame, day parties. It's all about, like, you're away from your parents. You're learning how to maneuver by yourself. Mm-hmm. Nobody can stop you but your friends. And it has to be a good friend for you to listen. Or you have to be ready to listen, but you're
I was going to say, it doesn't matter who
know
it is.
Everything.
If I don't want to hear
Yeah. Absolutely. It's about you. And so you're young. You know, you're young at 21, 22.
Yeah.
One thing that I wish I could go back and redo is my graduation day. Or the weekend in general.
Girl. Me too.
Girl.
I was so drunk.
When I tell you, I was either so drunk or I was so focused on being drunk that I felt like I didn't spend enough time with my family. I wish I would have had a dinner with them. I wish I wouldn't have rushed them on my graduation. And then now, my dad's not here. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like, damn, I didn't get to give him that. I wish I could go back and do it again. I think I was so focused on drinking and partying that I didn't give them what they deserve. Because you don't do things by yourself. You have a village.
No.
You have people cheering for you. You have people rooting for you. And I don't feel like I really gave them the flowers that they deserved that day. But I got a lot of stages to touch, a lot of microphones to give thank yous to. So
absolutely.
It's on the way.
Damn, that's so true. I had the same, like,
but
epiphany.
Did you?
I did.
But,
I was embarrassed. So, I'm embarrassed at my behavior then at graduation and how little I spent on my family.
Absolutely. And how little you cared about it then. And, like, how selfish looking back. It's like, oh, my God. Gave zero fucks at all.
Like,
thanks for coming. My graduation. I graduated. Bye. I'll see y'all later.
I'm on the flyer. I gotta be at this club. You see this little square? I'm on this flyer. I got a party. I should inject that flyer. I have it somewhere. Because we are all on that flyer. For some little club.
Little
Coliseum.
Square,
I don't even know.
What'd you say? Coliseum was lit, though. I get it if it was Coliseum. Now.
It was lit, though. That night was lit. But still. It was like any other night. Come on. We partied all the time.
It was like any other night, but like times 1,000 for real. So after school, boom, I graduate December. I start working in maybe February. So I was working at this place. I'm not going to say too much. I was working at this place.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I went out with my bosses after work and I went further away from my home. Basically, I just had to drive a little ways, right?
Okay.
And so we went out, we had a good time, we ate, we drank, and we drank, and we drank, and we departed, and we said, let us know when we get home. But I got pulled over like 30 seconds away from my grandma's house.
Damn.
I'm right there. This is 2014, so I was what, 22? I was 22.
Mm-hmm. Hey guys, I would be remiss if I did not mention that this week, being October 2nd through October 8th, is Mental Illness Awareness Week. Now, millions of people are living with a mental illness that not only affects them, but also affects everyone around them. Just some interesting stats taken as recent as 2017. Over 46 million people living in the U.S., so that's about 1 out of 5 adults, live with a mental illness. In the recovery spaces, we also see a substantial co-occurring phenomenon, I'll call it, between substance use and mental disorders. So some people may not know, but a substance use disorder is also a mental disorder because it affects a person's brain and behavior, and it may lead to a person's inability to control their use of a substance. Symptoms can range, and it's on a spectrum from mild, moderate to severe, with addiction being the most severe form of a, you know, substance use disorder. And individuals who experience substance use disorders during their lives may also experience a co-occurring mental disorder and vice versa. So things like that include anxiety, depression, ADHD, bipolar disorder, personality disorder, schizophrenia, among others. All right, back to the regularly scheduled program. Thank you for listening.
And so, I'm 22. I just graduated. Like, I got a job. Mm-hmm. I'm making a little bit of money. Mm-hmm. Like, cool. I'm living life. I get pulled over. I'm like 30 seconds from my grandma's house. So I'm driving, okay? I'm driving. And they pull me over. And the officer tells me that somebody might have reported that I was swerving or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Like, call 911. But I'll tell you this. As a 30-year-old now, I want to call 911 all the time when people driving on the road.
Yeah.
And say, come pull them over. Yeah. People are reckless. Like, yeah. Them people that just be just doing too much, I just be wanting to call the police on them. Because it's not safe. Something's going to happen. So, from what I heard, it was an older woman. She was a nurse. So, she might have seen some things. You know what I'm saying? So, whatever. Pull me over. I complied to do the test and all of that bullshit. And y'all know the test is all just tricks, really. Just to really, like, get you out the car. Once you agree, like, you agree. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So, they doing the eye test. Well, really, the eye test isn't to see if you follow the dot. It's to see what your eyes look like. Are they bloodshot? Are they red?
Oh.
Are they yellow?
I didn't know that.
It's not about if you can follow a dot. They're putting a flashlight in your eyes to see what your eyes look like.
Yeah.
So, did that. Then I walked this line.
ABC's backward?
It might have had a curve in it. That's stupid, though.
I can't even do that sober.
Who can do it sober? Z, Y, X, W, B. Like, I can't do it sober.
P-O.
And I'm sober right now, so you're not tricking me.
No, I'm not tricking you. I'm not. It's true though. I didn't even think about any of that. Like, yeah, that sounds like a trick.
But that's the design.
So, but it's a breathalyzer, really, that proves it.
Right. So that's the last step.
So they make you jump through all these hoops just to get to the real event, which is a breathalyzer.
To the real thing, exactly. Yeah. To use it up, right?
Can we just start with that? Save me my little dignity I have left.
Right, my little bit of dignity. So I blow. The legal limit in Maryland is 0.08.
Okay. What were you?
The legal driving limit is 0.08. I was 0.15. So I was almost double.
Yeah. What is 0.08? Is that like two beers? Like, is that two beers worth of?
I don't really know what it is. It could be, it might be like two.
Okay. And what do you remember drinking that night? So, like, what would you say that you had to drink that night?
Oh, mixed cocktails, shots, definitely shots.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely mixed cocktails and shots.
Yeah. But everyone that you were with were probably doing the same thing, right? And everybody that you were with also probably got in their car and drove home. Yeah.
Absolutely. I want to get into this, though.
Mm-hmm.
And how you talked about drinking in college is a culture. But I want you to see this. It was 0.08 is the Maryland state legal limit, right?
Mm-hmm.
We graduated high school in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Our senior shirts, on the back of them, in like digitized, like a clock. Think a digitized clock.
Yeah.
It said 0.09, pushing the limit.
That is terrible. Who signed off on that?
An adult approved it.
That's
crazy.
Come on.
So that just shows
setting y'all up for failure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not like reeling it in and saying this is actually inappropriate.
Hey guys, let's have an assembly about why this is not like a good thing to use to represent your budding adulthood.
I'll tell you this. And also, like, in my county, in the high school, in the county, like, that I grew up in, mm-hmm. they would have, like, rotating, like, a car that was in, that got totally destructed from a drunk driving accident. Mm-hmm. And it would maybe be at your school for like 2 weeks, like in the front, like on the grass.
Okay.
For like, just so awareness.
Right. Right.
So that was good awareness, but you letting us make a shirt that refers to push the limit of alcohol and we're 17?
That's terrible. That, yeah, at any age, really, so, like pushing the limit. Like, what?
Right. Especially in the school. So, to get back to my story, obviously I got arrested, but even then I'm like, officer, can I please, like, my grandma lives 30 seconds, like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. 30 seconds away. And he was like, no, like, she can come pick you up, whatever. And
wait, pause there.
I remember asking a lot of questions.
Pause right there really quickly. Was that your first time ever getting pulled over drunk or when you had been drinking under the influence?
Yeah, that was my first time being pulled over drunk.
Okay. I only ask because, unfortunately, I have been pulled over at least 3 times that I can think of right now at the top of my head, drunk, and did not get a DWI. Because I was able to talk, plead my way out of it, which is really messed up that any officer would even let me do that. Anyway, continue.
Right. So I got arrested, and then I called my grandma. I'm trying to think. Oh, actually, you know what? I think I made it worse than what it was supposed to be, because I was 22. I'm not supposed to go to jail. Like, this not supposed to happen to me.
I know.
I'm asking a lot of questions. Now, looking back, I probably was loud. I remember it was a white officer, a white guy, and he was saying I was being aggressive and abrasive, all the words they use to describe black women. It was probably a combination of him and a combination of me.
Yeah.
Like, I know how I am off that liquor.
Yeah.
22, I'm in the back of a police car. Like, no. So, went to jail, whatever. And then they let me call my grandma. I called my grandma. She came and got me. And she took me home.
Thank God she answered. What time was this?
You know what? It actually wasn't that super late. Yeah, it wasn't that super late. It was because it was after work. We went out after work.
Oh,
so it might have been like 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Or something like that.
But you didn't have to stay in jail.
It was the same night, I think. Okay. I'm pretty sure it was the same night. Yeah. And so I came home. And her thing was like, you know, you gotta tell your dad. And I was like, yeah. So I told my dad. That was the hard part, like telling my parents, seeing my parents disappointed. But that was probably the hardest part. Not court, not like the probation they put you on. You just feel
what
bad.
Is the air quote? What is the probation they put you on?
I mean, I checked in. I'm not even gonna say that. I would say that for a following time, but we'll get into that.
Okay, never mind. So this was real probation.
And so this was real probation. Like, I checked in every month. I was going to work late because I had to go. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had to go see them. I had to check in, do this and the third every month for like a year.
What is checking in?
No, checking in is when you go in the morning to your probation officer, and if they want to piss test you, they can. I never got it.
Okay.
You pay for probation, so it's like $55 every time you go.
Damn.
And then a lawyer for court. But then also keep in mind, I'm not paying for this. I'm 22, I'm fresh out of, I'm blessed enough to come from a household where there's money. My parents were married, you know what I'm saying, at the time. Mm-hmm. And so I'm their daughter, they cover me, whatever. So yeah, that was that. The hardest part was like telling them, and then like the inner feeling, the inside, my own like, working it out with me, like feeling like, oh my God, I'm embarrassed. Like, I can't believe I did that. Like, now granted, the car just got impounded because I was pulled over. I was driving it. Like, I didn't crash or nothing. So it's like the car was right there. I didn't do anything too crazy. I just got caught.
I think that's the key piece. It's like, I can't, not that you can't believe you did it, because I can't speak for you, but I used to drink and drive all the time. But it's like, I can't believe I got caught. Like, that part is probably the disbelief.
So that's what it was. But that was like, yeah, that's what it was. It was more like, I can't believe I got caught. And like, it's real repercussions to it, really, too.
Yeah. When you were on probation, though, were you not drinking and driving, at least? Like, was that confirmed? Like, probation that year, you did not drink and drive?
Yeah, I wasn't drinking and driving. I'm trying to think, though. I might have been telling myself, okay, you can have 2 glasses of wine and drive because it's not liquor. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Stuff like yeah. that. I'm not going to say I was completely sober. I'm not going to say I did a whole year sober on that. I'm not going to say that. But okay. I can't confirm if I didn't drink and drive because I don't remember. I just don't remember. It's not like alcohol, but I just don't remember the time.
Got it.
So boom, yeah, 2015, it's over. But I feel like that was one of the things, it's over. And so I just started picking back on my old habits, you know what I'm mm-hmm. saying, partying. And just drinking and, you know, turning up. I will say I wasn't a big drug user. I smoke weed. I was definitely, we were in college when Molly was a thing, so I was doing that in college, but not on a regular basis.
Molly water.
I was a Molly girl.
I was a Molly girl.
Sounds like a fun time. It's dangerous, yeah. So don't do it.
It's terrible, especially nowadays. You don't know what. We didn't really know what was in there either.
Absolutely. I'm gonna fast forward you to 2018, I'm with one of my homegirls, my close homegirl. We turned up all the time. She lived in D.C., so that was usually clutch for the most part because we turned up in D.C. She was extremely responsible. She was not a drinking and driver. We are Ubering, you know what I'm saying? I remember one time in 2018, I was also talking to this guy. We had seen the guy out earlier in the day. When I saw him, it was kind of like, forget her. Like, I see him. Like, if he goes somewhere, I'm going to go somewhere. And I remember come back to our house, and this is not my proudest moment, but this will show you what alcohol will do to you. Mm-hmm. She lived in an apartment, like a basement apartment, like in New York or D.C. at the time. She lived like in a level apartment. Mm-hmm. So she has a bathroom in her apartment, but I gotta pee. Mm-hmm. So I pull my pants down and my underwear down and I pee on her floor.
Yeah. In inside the living room?
Like on her, and she had wood floor. So it's not, you know what I'm saying? Like spread and like... But who? What's worse, wood or carpet? Carpet, it stays.
Carpet is way worse.
Yeah, you're right. Carpet is definitely worse. So, and then argued her down, like, I'm sorry, like, it's not that deep. Like, my bad. Like, no, bitch, it ain't no my bad. Like, you're grown. Like
that's the hardest part.
At this point, like, you're...
Because I want to know what that conversation probably sounded like the next day when you came to your senses again.
On the back end. Yeah, mm-hmm. On the back end, it was hard because I didn't remember it really, and so I'm trying to think if I stayed that night or if I left. She called my mom or she called my sister. She called Corinne and told her like, "Hey, she peed on my floor, argued me down, and then left." And I know she's drunk. Something's going on with her. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
So she said something's going on with her. Was there something going on with you beyond, and like the alcohol, the drinking, the lashing out while drunk were symptoms of something else that was going on for you or with you?
I'm going to say no. And I'm going to say no because from my recollection, I don't have no hard childhood. Mm-hmm. I didn't have anything really traumatizing happen to me ever. Thank God I've never been... From my knowledge, I've never been assaulted or molested or raped. I haven't had any of that happen to me. Mm-hmm. I was just turning up. I was having a good time.
Just so you know, though, something bad, like in the traditional sense of what we consider trauma, doesn't necessarily have to happen to you for you to, like, be acting out.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is, like, feeling unsettled in life, for example, like that might not be traumatic, but like if you're like, I don't know
I had
what
a hard
my purpose
day,
is,
and you drink your whole day away.
Yeah, that's something going on with you because you're using alcohol to displace your feelings. Even like with this guy, if this was a toxic relationship, right? Like that might not be traumatic, like, oh, my uncle touched me growing up. But in that sense, for you, it's like all consuming and it could drive a lot of the decisions that you make with alcohol.
You're right.
I don't want people to minimize their relationship with alcohol because they didn't have like a traditionally or conventional tough childhood in that sense. Anyway, just curious. So she was like, something's going on with Camille. Come get her because she just peed on my floor. And then what happened?
Or not come get her, but like figure it out because she's not here anymore.
Are you still friends with her?
Left.
Right.
Absolutely. That's my girl.
That's great.
And I feel like this is the first year... And 22 was the first year I kind of mentioned it, like, in, as a joke, and we both laughed about it. She's like, girl, and, like, rolled her eyes and laughed about it. Good. But it was one of those things that, like, we didn't really touch back on after we had the conversation. We didn't really talk about it after that. And that's probably more so for my sake. Shout out to my Bruja if you're watching this. Love you, girl.
Hey, Bruja. Is that witch in Spanish?
Right. Let me. Yeah, it's witch, but it's just like a little inside thing.
That's cute. I like that.
I do remember my mom kind of being concerned about me. She was in Memphis at the time. I was in Maryland. And we would talk, and I would be like, Ma, like, it's not like that. Like, I'm good. Like, this, that, and the third. Was I trying to cover something up at the time? And honestly, thinking, I can't recall anything and be like, oh, that was going on. I really think I was just so immersed in the party world. I have money. I can buy a bottle. I can go out. I don't have to buy a bottle. I look good. I'll find some niggas that's going to buy me a bottle. Like, yep.
All that.
Like, I don't have to pay for anything. Mm-hmm. I look good. Right. I just need to get there, so I'm going to drive so I can leave when I want.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now the liquor's in my system, and now I have to drive, and I'm drunk. So that's how it worked.
I think a lot of that was just that time period in our lives, being in big cities.
I think like so, you said, too.
Having a taste of money. Big cities, being cute. Being on the scene.
Having access to it. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Definitely.
And so that's 2018. 2019. Still turning up, but I really do feel like for a second that turned me down. For real, for real. Like the conversation that me and my friend had and the conversation me and my mom would have.
Red flags are kind of starting to like pop up where you can't ignore them as much as you'd like to.
Yeah, absolutely. 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 As you would like to. And so so these are red flags. 2019 was a good year too, I would say. I started my music. I released Copper and Carbon in September. People were really receptive to it. Mm-hmm. And so I was excited about doing it, moving on, right?
Yeah.
I done wrote down what I'm going to do in the new year. My birthday's in December. So,
shout out to Sagittarius. You know,
I like to write things down. Shout out to the Sagittarius building. We outside.
I love Sagittarius.
My new year is my birthday, although my birthday is so close to the new year, it kind of works on its own anyway. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, did you really do that in the new year? Because you're only 30 days away from it now, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so I have written down things that I learned at this age and this and the third. Cool, birthday passed, December 1st. Now it's New Year's Eve. And it's about to be 2020. It's not just no regular New Year's Eve. It's about to be 2020. Duh, duh.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so we doubling up. We turning, well, not we turning up, but like in spirit, in wealth, in abundance, we turning up. That's what my mind is thinking, right? I was working at a school at this point. I made really close friends with another teacher. We would always go to this hookah lounge. We would go out all the time and we would drink and either one of the two of us would drive home. Sometimes we would ride together, sometimes I would drive because we were coming from opposite directions.
Okay.
And this is going to play into the next story. Shout out to her too. I'm not like putting any blame on her at all. I'm just mentioning it.
Yeah.
And so boom. It is New Year's Eve 2019. I have no plans to go out. I don't want to go out. I want to chill. I want to make a vision board. I want to be responsible.
Yeah.
That's in my mind. At 7 o'clock. But now it's 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's 10 o'clock, and I'm seeing the New Year's Eve fits. I'm seeing the faces on. I'm seeing everybody looking good, about to have a good time on Instagram, on Snapchat, or whatever was popping in. My hair was already done, so all I had to do was put on a face and pick an outfit.
Recipe for disaster. Right. Your hair's done. It's over.
Recipe for once your hair is done, your nails done, all you got to do is put on a lash or whatever you do to your face. If you do anything but your hair and your nails is done, you're good. So my hair was done, and I called my homegirl, the same girl. Not Bruja, this is a different friend.
Okay.
And so I called this friend, I'm like, girl, you wanna go out? And she was like, you wanna go out? I wasn't gonna do nothing. I was like, let's just go out. And so she like, all right, bet, let's go out. I got my
Why do I feel like foreshadowing is happening here? It's gonna be something that happens. I feel like there's a foreshadowing event happening here.
It is. Okay. And so, you asked the timeline. We're moving on the timeline. I love the timeline. 2020 now, right? And so we go out. I drove, of course. Mm-hmm. I might have had a glass of wine in the house when I was getting ready.
Mm-hmm.
I was super cute. Mm-hmm. I was super bomb.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the last selfie I took of the night. I was in my car, I had my little ponytail to the side. My younger sister had just got me like 3 pairs of dangle earrings for Christmas because I told her I wanted to get into dangle earrings. So I wore them going into the new year, trying to tell myself I was going to try new things in the new year.
Okay. Okay.
But we're still partying, right? Still got some old ways.
Still the last day of the year, you know.
It's the last day of the year. And so I take my little selfie, and the song in the background that I put on my story was, "Did you got you in heat? Everything designer that's on me, yeah, yeah." So, you know, I'm like, okay, cute. And so I go to meet her. We link, we turn up, we go to the next spot. And I think I'm riding with her at this point. Like, I'm in her car.
Yeah.
And so go to the next spot. I remember she told me she came in the bathroom. She saw me, like, sleep in the bathroom.
Oh, no.
Another red flag, right? And so that's time to go. So we go, and it's drop off. I get to her, she's like, "You good?" I'm like, "I'm good. Got my key. Time to go." So we gotta go home so we can just do the next day. I'm probably 5 minutes from my house, if that, maybe 3 minutes. I'm comfortable. I think that's what happened. I feel like I'm off the highway now. You know what I'm saying? Like that. Roll window, loud music, like, I have to focus. I'm on the highway. It comes off you once you're in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
All I know is it was like, doom, doom, doom.
What?
And I'm like, oh, shit. And I pull my head up.
You got an accident?
I'm up. Girl, I ran into a tree.
I hate to do it. I'm really sorry. But you're going to have to check into next week's episode to hear the rest of Camille's story. I promise it is worth the wait. Be sure that you hit that follow or that subscribe button so that you stay up to date with all the Sober Butterfly podcast news. New episodes, new content, all that jazz coming right at you. Just make sure that you hit follow. Thank you guys so much for listening as usual. I love you so much. See you next Tuesday for the rest of Camille's story.